I'm Bishop John Barris of the Diocese of Rockville Centre, New York, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to join you today. Allow me first to thank you for your work in passing on the faith and for your interest in the new directory for catechesis. Your attentiveness to this document, especially in these challenging months, along with your desire to be formed by it, shows the seriousness with which you undertake your call to catechize. As a bishop, I'm deeply appreciative of your enthusiasm. I'd also like to thank the staff of the USCCB's Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis for producing this video series. Hearing insights about the directory from different voices helps us better receive the text. These thoughts can guide and shape our reading, and I'm hopeful much fruit will come from our reflection upon the presentations. I've been asked to speak on the way of beauty and beauty as a source of catechesis. As you know from reading the text, this topic is found at the end of chapter 2, beginning with paragraph 106. To proceed, I'd like to divide my thoughts into three parts. First, I wish to highlight the paragraphs themselves, paying particular attention to the newness of the theme and its relevance for today's catechetical climate. Second, I'd like to delve more deeply into beauty's power for catechizing. And third, I'd like to be practical. I hope that's okay, and offer some thoughts on incorporating beauty into catechesis. First, the text in four paragraphs, numbers 106, 107, 108, and 109. The directory does something excitingly new. In a cohesive fashion, it calls the church to highlight beauty, the way of beauty, the via pulchritudinis in her catechetical efforts. Knowing the previous directories, you're aware that this is an innovation. In the 1971 General Catechetical Directory, there's no mention of the via pulchritudinis. In fact, the word beauty is mentioned only once in that document, and then when speaking of the need of audiovisual aids. Remember that terminology? To possess a real beauty that can cultivate the powers of the senses and imagination. That was 1971. In the 1997 General Directory for Catechesis, the word beauty lost its place in the main body of the text and appeared only in a footnote. So in 2020, what's been given is significant. Four paragraphs on beauty. The proposal of following the way of beauty, the via pulchritudinis, and the placing of beauty among the sources of catechesis. Let's look at the four paragraphs. The first two focus on the beauty of revelation. Paragraph 106, after underlining God as the source of all splendor and beauty, notes the Old Testament as a privileged place where the beauty of creation is manifested. Paragraph 107 shifts towards the New Testament and the splendor of Jesus Christ. It highlights the beauty of our Lord's gospel, noting in particular his words and actions and the beauty of his total gift of self, by which we have new life. With these first two paragraphs, focusing on God's action in the Old Testament and then in Christ, and the beauty that imbues his handiwork in both instances, paragraph 108 calls on the church to let her proclamation of the risen one shine forth with goodness, truth, and beauty. Quoting Pope Francis's The Joy of the Gospel at number 167, it goes on to say that in this sense, it is necessary that every form of catechesis attend to the way of beauty, the via pulchritudinis. Right there, with the inclusion of that quote, what was given to us by the Holy Father in 2013 is emphasized and, in a sense, made normative. It now falls to us in our endeavors, as paragraph 109 explains, to incorporate every form of beauty as a source of catechesis, so that all might come to know the beautiful gift that the Father made in his Son. Beauty is now firmly and intentionally on our catechetical radar. Down through the centuries, the beauty found in creation, the Word of God, Scripture, tradition, the magisterium, and the lives of the saints has been disclosed by the church. She has reflected the beauty of the faith in sacred art and appreciated the secular arts that point towards truth. Indeed, art has catechized for millennia. Therefore, in a certain sense, with Pope Francis in Evangelium Gaudium and with a directory, what has been known has simply been brought to the fore. So we might say, the way of beauty is new, not in and of itself, but in the emphasis it's been given. But this begs a question. Why emphasize this way of beauty today? To attempt an answer at that question, I look to Bishop Robert Barron. In his work and an insistence on the way of beauty for transmitting the faith and the impact of Hans Urs von Balthasar on his thought, Bishop Barron has noted what I would call the perceived neutrality of beauty in proposing the faith. In short, beauty doesn't threaten. That's why one of his principles with Word on Fire is leading with beauty. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Leading with beauty. Bishop Barron rightly understands that people today, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues at work, don't always respond well when we start with one of the other transcendentals, such as truth or goodness. In our efforts to evangelize and catechize, when we explain the faith or propose something in the moral life, things might not develop as we would hope. This has nothing to do with a flaw in truth or goodness, far from it. Rather, it stems from an inability of many people today to receive an answer to a question they're not asking or hear a call to a better way of life when they see nothing wrong with the one they are living. We know this well. If someone's heart is not stirred, catechesis can be a chore. Beauty, according to Bishop Barron, by being perceived as neutral, invites a response on the part of a person and can generate a conversation that leads him or her deeper, hopefully to a place where truth and goodness can be received. To apply a line from an early book of his on the spirituality of cathedrals, we might say, beauty can teach the truth of Christ in delightfully indirect manner. That's why it demands our attention in the current climate. Let's move on to my second thought. Here I'd like to explore briefly beauty's power and its implications for catechesis. Once again, Bishop Robert Barron's insights indicate the way, but the writings and thoughts of our recent popes are helpful in expanding the idea. I noted that Pope Francis' contribution in Evangelii Gaudium, there he brought the idea of beauty to the center for catechesis, precisely because it is a means of touching the human heart and enabling the truth and goodness of the risen Christ to radiate within it. In many ways, his insistence and insight advances a trajectory begun with Pope St. Paul VI, and carried forth by Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. Each of these pontiffs pointed us towards beauty, particularly through their engagement with artists. A brief exploration of their thoughts shows the power of beauty and what it engenders. To simplify, we might say Pope St. Paul VI, Pope St. John Paul II, and Pope Benedict XVI emphasize the connection between beauty and the heart. In that connection lies beauty's power. It is a power to stir or awaken. Pope St. John Paul put it forthrightly. Beauty, like truth, brings joy to the human heart. He understands that through beauty, the heart is engaged, it's moved, and so horizons are expanded and a person is open to the transcendent. Pope St. John Paul II, an artist himself, a poet, an actor, a playwright, understood this too, namely beauty's ability to engage the human person and open them to something beyond themselves. Indeed, in his 1999 letter to artists, he said that when moved by beauty, believers know they have had a momentary glimpse of the abyss of light, which has its original wellspring in God. This glimpse which stirs the heart, he continued, leaves the spirit overwhelmed, so that it can only stammer in reply. Like Pope St. Paul VI, St. John Paul II knew the power of beauty, shown especially through the arts, to stir the heart. In the writings of Pope Benedict, the way of beauty is emphasized. He calls this way the Via Pulchritudinis, a path to guide the mind and the heart to the eternal, to elevate them to the heights of God. Further, he says, the way of beauty is a privileged and fascinating path on which to approach the mystery of God. It is a way that allows us to grasp the whole in the fragment, the infinite in the finite, God in the history of humanity. For Pope Benedict, this is possible because genuine beauty gives man a healthy shock. It draws him out of himself, wrenches him away from resignation and from being content with the humdrum. It even makes him suffer, piercing him like a dart. But in so doing, it reawakens him, opening afresh the eyes of his heart and mind, giving him wings, carrying him aloft. The quote is long, but it sums up well the pivotal role of beauty. Beauty pierces the heart. It moves us, and because it does, it is powerful. Permit me one last quote from Pope Benedict XVI, as he reveals further why beauty must be part of our catechetical efforts. Pope Benedict XVI writes, "Authentic beauty unlocks the yearning of the human heart, the profound desire to know, to love, to go towards the other, to reach for the beyond. If we acknowledge that beauty touches us intimately, that it wounds us, that it opens our eyes, then we rediscover the joy of seeing, of being able to grasp the profound meaning of our existence, the mystery of which we are part. From this mystery, we can draw fullness, happiness, the passion to engage with it every day. Third, and finally, allow me to offer some practical points concerning beauty and catechesis. We've looked at the text, answered why beauty is relevant today, and saw beauty's power to strike the heart. So some applications seem in order. I'll offer only three. First, let's be attentive to the arts in our catechesis, especially religious paintings that reveal the drama of a biblical passage. I mention this because while incorporating film literature or music might be possible, depending, of course, on the group to whom we are offering catechesis, showing a work of art is the most accessible way to bring beauty to a group. The power of an image, for instance, Caravaggio's Calling of St. Matthew, requires neither reading nor disciplined listening. Neither does it demand a heavy investment of time. Unlike the 2012 film adaptation of Les Miserables, which could certainly generate conversation but runs 2 hours and 40 minutes. So while we can and should look to incorporate art in all its forms, if we are constrained by time or attention spans, let's remember the simplicity and power of a thoughtfully chosen image. Second, the directory mentions the importance of the space for catechesis in paragraphs 221, 222, and 223. Without wading too deep into the paragraphs, I would simply note that perhaps beauty should be taken into consideration when selecting a place for catechesis. I realize we have limitations in our spaces and with our resources. However, recognizing the power of beauty to stir the heart, perhaps an additional criterion when choosing a place to meet might be the question, is the space beautiful? Lastly, and more importantly, let's remember the beauty of the liturgy, be it a Mass, Holy Hour, or May crowning. Our efforts at catechesis generally return to the liturgy, so the remembrance isn't about the obvious. Instead, it is an invitation to do all in our power to celebrate the liturgy faithfully, reverently, and with as much beauty as possible. When we move beyond the good enough approach or step away from the routine and invest ourselves and give our best to the Lord, then the beauty of liturgy stands out. And when beauty appears, hearts are stirred and catechesis more easily occurs. Again, three simple observations as we emphasize beauty together. There are many more. Thank you for your time, and may God bless our efforts to lead others on the Via Pulchritudinis.